Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Talk to the Experts. My guest this morning, a regular once in each and every month, Dr. Cindy Nagel from Horizon Dental Clinic. Congratulations again on your first year of operation out there in Brock.
Thank you very much. We're very excited. We made it an entire year.
Is the party still going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been, doing fun stuff all month long. We still have our tablet giveaway ongoing, so...
Well, you saw my message on Facebook for that thing.
Yeah, but you have to come.
Okay.
You have to enter physically. But we're giving away extra draws for, you know, Facebook reviews, Google reviews. We really want to get the word out there, for people that have enjoyed what we're doing and, letting people know. It really helps.
Reflect for me, if you will, Cindy, back to that first year. Now it's all completed. Ahead of where you thought you might be at this time when you first opened the doors?
Oh, gosh, yeah, way ahead. I didn't think we'd be making enough money to even pay our bills at this point. But we do. We've grown very quickly. We're gearing up to hire some more staff at the end of the year.
Wow.
Overwhelmingly good year.
Yeah, so you've had fun doing it too, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's been tough. There's been lots of stressful times. I'm not ashamed to say that I've done my fair share of crying. But it's been so much fun, and it's such a difference when it's my clinic, my practice. You know, it really does give me so much more freedom to take my time, to put my effort in where it needs to go so that I can put my focus into treating people the way they deserve to be treated.
How well do you think the clinic's been received right from the get-go? Were you worried about that? I know you have a great location. You kind of have like a captive audience when it comes to seniors especially.
Yeah,
but
nice.
When you first opened the doors, were you skeptical at all? Or
we didn't know how many patients we would have. I mean, I think I've probably mentioned before that I had worked in Kamloops for a few years before that, but I didn't have any of my own patient base. You know, I wasn't allowed to take any of the names or keep any of my patients.
Right.
So when we opened the doors, we really had maybe a handful of friends and family that we knew would probably be coming for their cleanings and stuff. But we really didn't know, how fast we'd grow or how many patients we would have. And it was a bit of a slow start the first few months. You know, we were still trying to do a lot of promoting. We were first getting into the radio. We were first doing our segments together. And, I mean, we didn't even have a sign-up for the first several weeks.
We didn't have anything. I remember being at the clinic. We were doing live on location broadcast from there shortly after you opened, maybe the day of. I don't know.
It was day two, I think.
Day two, yeah. Half the building was still in the...
Yeah, it was still under construction. It was a little bit ridiculous. We had no chairs for the waiting room for the first couple of weeks.
I don't remember that.
that was the way it was. It was pretty bad.
Now, going in, you wanted to become a family dentist out there in Brock, basically, right? And you love working with kids.
I do. I really do. Being able to treat the whole family is actually really rewarding. You know, it's kind of makes it more of a team effort. That way, if I'm focusing on the kids as well, then it's helping to educate parents. It's helping make sure that the parents themselves are healthy, because there's lots of parents out there that will, you know, of course, put their kids first. And it helps. It makes me feel a lot better knowing that I get to, you know, sort of contribute to their well-being as well. And then, you know, working all the way up to grandparents, seniors, like, it's nice to have a variety. I never get bored.
There you go. We've talked about the kids and their dental health on several of these shows.
Yeah.
One thing we really haven't touched on in any great detail is seniors and their dental health. So can we do that today?
Yeah, senior, it would be a really nice change of pace to spend a little bit of time talking about some of our seniors for sure.
First of all, I wanted a definition from you. What's a senior? Be careful.
I guess I'm typically thinking of the 65 plus range, give or take.
I'm a senior. No, this is great because I guess seniors, 65 plus, that's a good age range. They present a few different problems, don't they?
Yeah, things start to change a lot when you're reaching some of those ages, when you start to be kind of, unfortunately, a little more reliant on medications. You know, you've got your blood pressure pills, you've got your water pills. You might have developed type 2 diabetes. You might be on metformin or insulin or other sugar regulators, different things like that. And it really does sort of change the landscape of what happens in your mouth.
Really?
Oh, I did not know that. The medication complications alone are probably the biggest challenge that I get with my seniors.
Don't doctors know this?
They do, but they don't actually... I don't know. I mean, first of all, how many people here actually have a family doctor? Like, raise your hand, because I can't. I don't have a family doctor. I'm lucky that I don't need one
specifically. Neither do I, so I'm in the same
company. Right? So it's okay for now. But there's plenty of people that come through our door. Like, any new patient we see, we routinely take their blood pressure. And in the last 6 months, I've found 3 people whose blood pressures have been so high that I've had to send them to the emergency room for treatment.
Really?
And they felt fine, but their blood pressure was dangerously high, and they don't have a doctor, so they didn't know. They had no idea.
Wow.
So here we are, you know, the first line of care for some people. And I think that, well, especially considering, again, like back to blood pressure, it's kind of a basic thing. Lots and lots of people are on blood pressure pills. But I think that sometimes it's easy to overlook some of the side effects when it's such an important drug. I mean, just because it causes dry mouth doesn't mean that you can't take it, because if you don't take it, you might have a heart attack. So really, what's the worst? You know, like, would you rather have a heart attack or a dry mouth?
You as a dentist, though, what can you do about a dry mouth?
Well, there are definitely some things that I can do. I mean, first off, if you are experiencing a dry mouth, you should speak with a physician. I mean, whoever's giving you the medications, they should know that that's part of what you're going through. Sometimes they can tweak the dosage a bit or change it around a little bit. You never know what they're capable of unless you ask. But from my side of things, I do a lot of just counseling, you know, making sure that people understand how to stay hydrated, what they should hydrate with, what sorts of toothpaste they need to make sure that they're using, different care techniques, mouth rinses. There are certain antioxidant gels and rinses, different things like that, that you can purchase. Some of them are available in regular pharmacies. Some of them I carry myself, just because when you have to source them from the States, I'm the only place you can get them, and I want to make sure it's available. So we do a lot of that sort of thing, too, and just trying to get, you know, saliva flowing, things like this. But with dry mouth, the number one problem that people have besides altered taste, right? It's harder to taste things when your mouth is dry. But
harder to swallow, too.
And harder to swallow, so it's very uncomfortable. But they also tend to get a higher rate of cavities, because the saliva is not washing things away.
Okay.
The plaque is getting thicker, it's getting stickier, and it sticks to the teeth a lot more. And again, as you're aging, your gums may be receding, and if those root surfaces start to show, they will get a cavity so quickly, because they're not meant to be in that kind of environment.
Yeah,
they're not meant to be
below
in
below the hard enamel, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so it's not resilient enough. And so you might come to the dentist and you know, no cavities, everything looks good, send you on your way, blood pressure medication changes, mouth gets dry, 3 months later, mouth full of cavities. Like, it can happen very quickly. And so when things like that happen, one of the other big things that I'm trying to do more often is to consider using custom-made fluoride trays.
Okay.
So it's similar to having like a mouth guard or a retainer, that sort of thing. It's a flexible, custom-made material that just fits over top of your teeth. We prescribe you a fluoride gel. And all you have to do is just line the inside of these trays with the fluoride gel, put them on your teeth 10 minutes a day right before bed. That's all it needs. Spit out the extra stuff. And that is going to, you know, essentially bathe your teeth directly in fluoride. So you're not going to swallow it. It's not going to get into your system. It's not going to do any damage to your stomach or anything like that. People are always concerned about fluoride in that respect. It's very localized. It's very controlled, right? You're controlling the amount that you're using. But it's going to harden that root surface. It's going to harden that enamel, and it's going to protect it.
Wow.
Huge, huge difference.
No kidding.
Yeah. It was a trick I learned working in the hospital in Calgary, because we used to see a lot of patients who were getting head and neck radiation. And when you get head and neck radiation, it tends to kill your saliva glands.
Wow.
And if you have no saliva...
You got problems.
Yeah, you got problems.
You mentioned receding gums just momentarily. Is there any way that can be repaired?
Yes.
Really? There was a time when you couldn't, wasn't there?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There was a time where it was like, well, you're stuck with that.
Yeah, you know, pull the teeth, see the dentures, you know.
Maybe. It really depends on the extent of it, right? I mean, if you have receding gums but your bone support's very healthy, there's certain types of soft tissue grafting where the gums can be sort of lifted back up. There's new techniques, one that I'm really interested in, a pinhole technique that's really, you know, minor surgery, non-invasive. You don't have to take tissue from other places and sew it in place. It's nice. I haven't learned this yet, but I'm looking forward to it. But there are lots and lots of options out there. I mean, if your gums are receding and you want to know, all you have to do is ask.
Dr. Cindy Nagel in the studio. We're talking, of course, about dental health in particular this time around. Seniors' dental health. There's a lot more to discuss, and we'll do just that when we come back to Talk to the Experts on Radio NL. Welcome back to this edition of Talk to the Experts. Dr. Cindy Nagel of Horizon Dental Clinic, celebrating her first year out there in Brocklehurst and doing better than expected.
Yes, and I'm very happy about that. It's good. It feels like the effort that I'm putting in is coming back to me. You know, it's what you put out there, you get in return.
Yeah, absolutely. Hardworking purple people, rather, tend to be rewarded for their efforts.
Yeah, at least, you know, that was the whole idea.
We're talking about seniors' dental health, Cindy, and there's so much more to carry. Osteoporosis is one thing a senior, especially in the upper years, who they have to, male and female, have to put up with. How about osteoporosis and dental health?
It's probably something, again, a lot of people don't connect the dots between, right? I mean, you know that osteoporosis affects your bones, and you know that your teeth sit in bones, but I think a lot of people don't really think about how that might impact their teeth or their dentures, that sort of thing. Osteoporosis tends to be a bigger problem in women. It still affects both genders, but it is a bigger deal for a lot of women. It's just a hormone thing.
Osteoporosis, is it a softening of the bone or deformation of the bone? Exactly what is it?
It's more of like a weakening of the bone.
Weakening, okay.
Yeah, the bones become more brittle. That's why, you know, if you fall, you're going to break your hip. Things like that, unfortunately.
Thanks.
Well, hopefully not you. Hopefully not anybody. But I mean, it's one of those things that's kind of common. So when it comes to teeth, jawbones, things like this, one of the things that, again, people may not be aware of is some of the medications that are used to treat osteoporosis, the bisphosphonates. The way that they work is bones have their own metabolism, right? They're constantly eating themselves away and rebuilding themselves.
Okay.
That's how they keep themselves healthy. And because people are with osteoporosis have the more brittle bones, these medications are designed to stop that eating away process and just have the formation process, which goes at a much slower rate because the two of them are supposed to work together. You're supposed to eat away some of the bad and then grow a bunch of the good. So when you have teeth, let's say, you know, you're getting older and you're not really too worried about your teeth and you're thinking you might be ready for dentures sometime soon, but you're on these medications. If you have a tooth pulled and you're on a bisphosphonate, the bone may not heal because it's not able to do that filling in and taking away process. The actual healing ability is reduced by quite a bit. So there's a lot of special protocols that need to be done if people are on these kinds of medications. So something to keep in mind. A lot of people, again, if you do have dentures, let's say, I think most people are aware that the dentures will get smaller, you know, without the teeth in them, right? The bones will start to shrink away, the sinuses will get bigger, and again, the bones get a lot weaker. So you have to keep in mind that, you know, you're at higher risk for trauma, just like with your hip, but you're going to lose a lot of that denture support as well, and you're not going to have a denture that fits very nicely, and you can be at risk of breaking your jaw.
I've heard that when folks get their dentures, and it really doesn't matter what age, there's a pretty good chance 5 to 10 years later you have to actually replace the plate.
Yep.
Only because it's so loose that you can't keep it in.
Yep, exactly. The bone, like the tissues are going to constantly change, and without some sort of input to the bone, it's going to, like the body likes to send resources where it's needed, right? Why should the body maintain the jawbone if there's no teeth in it, right? The body doesn't know that there's a denture there. The body doesn't give a care that you have a plastic plate on top of your jaw. Like, no, that's not what the body does. The body's like, okay, well, your back is getting sore. Let's leach some of this stuff out of there and send it to your back, right?
Oh, okay.
Right? Like it's a balancing act, and that's why implants are so great.
Osteosporosis and implants. You know, if you've got a weak bone, can you still put an implant in?
Yes, you can. It just has to be planned very carefully. That's the only problem. It has to be planned very, very carefully. If your bone is weaker, you're going to need more implants to hold things in place. That's really the basic idea behind it.
That's that little screw that goes into
exactly.
the bone.
Yep, the implant is more or less like a screw. It's made out of surgical-grade titanium, so it's just like when you have a pin placed in your elbow or something. It's the same kind of deal. It's a very minor type of surgery. I mean, it's kind of similar to literally screwing a screw into a chunk of wood.
Yeah.
That's all we really do. We just slowly make the hole bigger and bigger until the implant fits, and then you screw it in and torque it, and it's good to go. Everybody's happy. They do take time to heal. So again, if your healing ability is lower, you know, if you have medical complications or the osteoporosis or one of these things, then you're going to take a little longer to heal with the implants. You may not be able to use them right away. They may have to be left like under the gums for a longer period of time to stabilize before you can have teeth mounted on them. But it's still possible, and it's actually, I mean, obviously the sooner the better, but we have people in their 90s who get implants.
Really?
And they do really, really well.
Have you been surprised that you mentioned an individual in their 90s? Have you been surprised by the amazing dental health by some of these older folks?
Yeah. Some people have got great teeth, and they're moving around, and their mind is sharp as a tack. I love it.
Is that right, eh?
I love seeing these seniors. It's wonderful. They just mosey on down to the clinic. A lot of them live up above us in the Riverbend in the Mayfair there in Brock. So I get to see lots and lots of really great people.
Lots with great dental health.
And some of them do. Some of them, it's like, what did you do? Like, how did this happen? I want to know.
Do they tell you?
A lot of the time, it seems to come down to just basic oral hygiene and genetics.
Wow. How old is your oldest patient?
Ooh, good question.
I should have asked you before we went on the air.
I want to say 93.
Well, that's pretty good.
I want to say that there's this nice little lady who is 93.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She brings those coffee and donuts when she comes in?
No, but we have the coffee available. I'm not sure if she drinks our coffee. A lot of people have been actually really enjoying our coffee. We have good coffee. It's not the, I don't know what, like the Nabob or the Folgers. We get our coffee from the Redbeard Coffee Cafe there on the North Shore in Tronchiel.
Okay.
And we grind the beans every morning, and we brew the coffee every morning, and it's actually really great coffee.
You know, I'm thinking you do operate out of a heavily populated senior area. Care homes, there's lots of them out there.
Yep.
What about their knowledge on dental? Is it
sadly
good,
very poor?
From 1 to 10?
3.
Really?
It's not good. It's part of it is the way that they're structured, the type of staff that they have. Most care aides aren't like similar to, they're not as close to nurses as you'd think that they would be. I mean, a lot of them are fabulous and they work really hard, but they have limitations, right? They're not trained to perform specific duties. And some of our seniors are living in places that are assisted or unassisted.
Right.
And if they're living unassisted, but they technically need some assistance, then they're stuck fending for themselves, and there's no real way to regulate that or watch that. But even in some of the more hands-on care homes, sadly, I think probably because, again, like the staff training isn't quite there, but a lot of them seem to be understaffed, from what I gather. So it's hard. I mean, I'm sure that there's plenty of them that want to try and help perform the oral hygiene and do these things and do the denture care, but I don't think they have time a lot of the time.
Well, care home workers, are there things they should know about?
Yeah.
Just generally speaking.
Number one, make sure you know whether your patient has a denture or a partial denture, because that prosthesis needs to be taken out at night. I think a lot of the time, some of these seniors don't remember that they have one. So it'll be in 24/7, so it'll never get cleaned properly. So, making sure that it's taken out at night, put into the cleaning solution, brushed with a denture toothbrush, and then, given back to them in the morning would be one of the biggest helps that they could have.
Wow, something that simple.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Especially for a partial denture. A partial denture uses existing teeth to hold in. So you're going to have a bunch of missing teeth and a couple of teeth that are still in there. That partial denture needs to be taken out. The mouth needs to be rinsed away and the plaque needs to be cleaned off the teeth. Otherwise, those teeth, because the partial hugs them, the food gets stuck there and it's cavity city.
Wow.
And it would be great if they just took them out, rinse them off, brush them with the denture brush, make sure that the patient, I mean, if you can't help them brush their teeth, if you don't have time, at least hand them a bottle of mouthwash and make sure that they do at least that, and it would make such a big difference.
How about a Horizon Dental Clinic manual or booklet designated for the care home workers that they can read and maybe even give to their clients?
That's a really actually excellent idea. I mean, I have tons of pamphlets and weird things that I've come up with in the past, but I do not actually have one like that. No, I really like that idea. I think I'll look into doing something like that.
Okay.
Hopefully I won't overstep my bounds because, again, I mean, I fully, sort of understand the limitations, again, of what they're trying to do, right?
Yeah.
But just a couple of little things, and it might make a big difference for some of our seniors.
As suggested by Paul Graham.
Exactly. We'll put your credit right at the bottom.
I think it'd be a great idea.
No, it is. I love it. And, I mean, I like how, like I said, I like doing that sort of thing. I like doing the literature.
Yeah, you do like to help people more than anything else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's if I can help just one person, then I'm happy.
There you go. Dr. Cindy Nagel from Horizon Dental Clinic about to release a brand new booklet, Care Homes. It's on the way. We'll come back and continue with Talk to the Experts in just a moment on Radio NL. Welcome back to Talk to the Experts. I'm Paul Graham. Cindy Nagel, Dr. Cindy Nagel. I've known you for so long now, I keep forgetting the doctor part. Sorry about that.
Oh, you know what? That actually happens a lot, but I don't really mind. It's no big deal.
You got this great big certificate. It's in
the Latin certificate sitting on the wall in there.
You can do the doctor thing, okay?
Exactly.
All right. Dr. Cindy Nagel from Horizon Dental Clinic in the studio. We've been talking primarily, Cindy, of seniors' dental health. Do seniors like to get their Hollywood look as well?
Yeah. Of course, everybody wants to have a nice white smile. Who wouldn't? We get lots of people, even people who have dentures ask about tooth whitening.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You get the grindstone out.
Well, the nice thing about the dentures is sometimes, like, I can actually do something to lighten them up. It depends on what's wrong with them. But some people, you know, they still have some teeth in there, and they want those ones to be whiter to maybe match the denture, things like that. So, I mean, there's lots of different things you can do.
I was just thinking, I want to get back to the Hollywood look thing in just a second, but dentures, seniors with dentures probably have had the plates for a long time. Grinders, for instance, that can't be too good for dentures.
People who grind their teeth, believe it or not, having dentures makes it more likely for you to grind your teeth, or in that case, grind your dentures, because you have no feedback anywhere. Your teeth are all surrounded by little ligaments, and it's like when you put pressure on your arm or something. I mean, your arm knows where that is and knows how deep the pressure is going based on the depth that you're pushing on it, right? Teeth have the same sort of feedback where it'll tell you, like, that's how hard you're biting, you better let go. And some
or
teeth,
I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah, more or less, right? But with dentures, there's no feedback. So they do tend to wear down quite rapidly, which is why, like you mentioned earlier, they have about a 5-year shelf life.
Dentures?
Yeah.
That's it.
Give or take. I mean, some people can have them for decades, but the average denture is about 5 years.
Is it wise to change the plates, replace the plates?
Yeah, or at the very least, reline them. The better they fit, the less likely you're going to have problems down the road.
I would imagine the plastic that's holding the teeth in, that also wears down and gets pretty thin too, eh?
Yes, it can thin out. It can get very brittle as well, and sometimes it's repairable. Like if you snap something in half, we might be able to kind of glue it back together. But
crazy glue.
You know what? Honestly, if you have a denture, you should have crazy glue at home, because if it breaks like that, crazy glue is going to work as good as anything, at least for the short term. So, I mean, if you're traveling and you have dentures, stick crazy glue in your carry-on bag, because you're going to want it.
You're the one with the doctor title, and I'm coming up with all the good stuff.
It's advice that I've given out before. I mean, I've given it out to my grandparents. So it's it's one of those things, but it's something that a lot of people actually do ask. Like, people do ask about crazy glue, just like you did, and you're expecting me to laugh at you and be like, no, but no, it's true, it works.
I'm working on it, okay? Whitening now, whitening of the teeth. Let's get back to that. Any negatives when it comes to seniors' teeth, when it comes to whitening?
Not so much. In fact, the older you are, if theoretically speaking, the less likely you're going to have sensitivity, things like that afterwards. The nerves of the teeth get smaller as we age. The nerves calcify as we age. So when you're a kid, you have these great, big, huge nerves sitting in your teeth. And then once you're older, you may have almost no nerve space left. So the number one side effect of bleaching or whitening your teeth is tooth sensitivity. Most of the time it clears up in a few days or a few weeks. It's why we do a lot of work with the teeth beforehand to desensitize them, or, you know, prescribe a sensitivity toothpaste, things like this, to sort of set the stage so that the teeth are prepared for what you're going to put them through. but a lot of seniors tolerate it very, very well.
Whitening, is it just a fluoride treatment, or is it an actual bleaching? Or
it is an actual bleaching agent, yes. There's a hydrogen peroxide or a carbamide peroxide of varying percentages.
Pretty hard on the enamel?
Not so much. It will, because the bleaching is leaching the stain out of the teeth, it will make the enamel more porous.
Okay.
Right? So that's one of the reasons why there's the sensitivity, because all of a sudden the liquid and the temperature change in your mouth is getting deeper through the tooth, and that's one of the reasons why it gets a little more sensitive like
that.
That's
when you go to the art shop and you buy a clear coat or something.
Well, see, we have certain things that kind of act as a clear coat afterwards, so there's certain things out there that will
I'm
work.
I'm trying, okay?
I know. No, I'm always impressed. But, I mean, it really depends. One of the nice things about the bleaching that we do in our office is we have a Zoom whitening system, which is a light-activated chemical bleaching. So if you have sensitive teeth, it's one of the best ways to go, because we can do the pretreatment, and then we can calculate, or, you know, sort of tailor the treatment to you. So the light itself activates the chemical, and the chemical will do the bleaching. The light has different settings. So if you have sensitive teeth, you use the low setting. If you have no sensitivity, you can use the higher setting. We might do one treatment for your teeth. We might do three treatments for your teeth. It depends on how white you want them and how sensitive you are and how comfortable you are with it.
I guess for you, is the more natural, the better, right?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't like building chiclets.
What would the veneers be used for?
Veneers are a cosmetic option that's specific because it's, think of a veneer as like a half cap. You know, like a full cap goes over top of the teeth and it covers it 360 degrees.
Okay.
A veneer is going to be about half that, where it's only going to cover the part of the tooth that you can see on the outside, the smiling part, like the facial aspect of the teeth. The veneers are really great for people who have staining that can't be corrected with bleaching, like fluorosis or tetracycline staining, things like this, heavy minerals. Stuff that can't be kind of covered up. People that have, you know, large fillings that are discoloring, or people whose teeth aren't the right size. Like Angus, for example, has his peg lateral incisors, where his, you know, second teeth in, his the ones that are beside the canine on the top, they're too small. And it's just the way they formed. It's the way they are. It's very common, actually, for those teeth to be funny shaped or tiny or different things for people. And what's great about the veneers, especially the set that he did, was we really didn't have to do anything to the teeth. I didn't have to take the enamel down. The teeth didn't have to be cut apart. They just needed to be reshaped a little bit. And the veneers just go on top, and they look great.
Is this how you would repair a big gap in the front, two front teeth?
It's one of the ways, yeah.
I've seen so many people, I mean, it's not their fault, they're just born with it, and the gap gets bigger as they get older.
It can, absolutely. Some people, usually of African descent, will have a gap that's big enough for like a third tooth.
Really?
It's really incredible, actually.
So you have to actually rebuild the two front teeth to fill that gap in?
You can. Some people will choose to get braces or some sort of orthodontics to close the space. That works great, too. There's veneers, right? So you can redo the whole facial aspect of the teeth. There's also bonding, where you can stick more or less some of the white filling material just in the in-between part and sort of fill that in and try to reshape it. The bonding is the least expensive option. All of this stuff is cosmetic, of course, so the odds of your benefits, your insurance covering that are a little lower.
Right.
So bonding works really well. It's really inexpensive, but it doesn't last as long. The filling material will tend to discolor or chip over time, depending on what's used, depending on the technique, all these things like that. Veneers are typically really excellent long-term, and they're easy. They're nice to keep clean. They're strong, so you're not going to break them off unless you're a grinder or something like that, and then you might want to take a few precautions.
Listen to your dentist.
Please.
Yeah, you know, everything that you have told us in the past year, the evolution's been phenomenal, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Of the different techniques and the different materials that you use.
There's different layers of stuff, right? You know, it's like having different models of cars to look at. I mean, you might be just wanting a Honda Civic, right? Something that's a little less expensive, super reliable, that's going to, you know, be your daily driver. Or you might be the kind of person that wants that Cadillac, where you're going to have to put a lot more money into it, but it's going to look perfect, it's going to drive perfect, it's, you know, it just depends on what level of things you want to achieve.
And dental insurance won't cover that aspect, right?
No.
No. Listen, Cindy, this has been a real slice once again. Always a lot of fun to talk to you, and of course, very, very informative. You have to go ahead with that pamphlet, though, for the care homes.
Yeah, right? No, I think I will. I'm going to get on to that as soon as I finish rebuilding our website.
Okay. Are you doing that now?
Yeah. We have hired a really wonderful company to help us redo the website and a few other things. I'm just spending a lot of my free time working on the content at the moment.
Is it up and running?
Nope. No, it's going to be a little while out. I haven't had as much time in the last couple of weeks, just gearing up for our anniversary, stuff like this, to put all the time into it that's needed. So that's going to be most of my weekend is behind the computer.
Okay, putting it back up. How do people get a hold of you then?
Well, our website is still there. The old one is still there, so you can still check us out at horizondental.clinic. You can reach us at by phone, 778-765-3928. Or we're located at 760 Mayfair Street, just off Tronquille, past the Brock Shopping Center.
Well, I've been in there, folks, and you should drop in to see Cindy and meet her and her staff if you're out that way. Congratulations again on your
first year
of being in business out there. I know the folks who live out there appreciate you being there.
Yeah, well, we appreciate them. They've been very supportive of us, and we hope that we'll just continue to have that good relationship.
Yeah, well, I look forward to our next conversation in next time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll see you in October.
October already?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Summer? We'll talk to you next month.
Yeah, for sure.
Dr. Cindy Nagel from Horizon Dental Clinic in the studio with us this morning. That's it for this edition of Talk to the Experts. Thank you for listening. Have yourself a great day.